We thank you for the hope of the gospel. We thank you, Lord, that your word is living, and you can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. And as I've prayed for congregations whom I love this simple prayer thousands of times, I prayed again this morning for everyone here, that your saints would be equipped, your kingdom would be extended, and there would be more lovers of Jesus on the planet. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Please be seated. Please be seated. It is always a privilege and a challenge to preach on what this would be Christmas Sunday. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And I just get overwhelmed when I think about the distance that actually Jesus came to bridge the gap, not only in space and time, but particularly in the area of our sin. And so I wonder this morning, I could use a little more light over here if we found it. That'd be really nice. There is something about light at Christmas. So how far did you come to meet with us here this morning? 5 miles, 10 miles? Let me see. Tom, your parents got in, didn't they? They came from Michigan. Well, welcome. Nice to have you this morning. They came a distance. And I don't know, is Miguel here? Is Abby's here, right? Yeah, you came a distance. You came many, many miles all the way from Guatemala, but you're here for a little while. Let me see. We've got some people from Atlanta, don't we? Yeah. Anybody come further than Guatemala here this morning? Just checking it out. You know, when somebody comes from a distance and they want to see us, it becomes a very special matter. It becomes something that we want to actually embrace them and come close to them and greet them and welcome them. We might hug them. We might give them a kiss. We might, if they're a younger man, we might give them the fist pump, right? Remember we used to do a high five? Anybody remember a high five? Yeah, a few of us. But if you were really old, they used to say, thank you, give me some skin. Anybody remember that? Yeah. Give me some skin. And we're talking about the Word became flesh today. And in that little phrase, the Word became flesh, it is O Logos Sarx Entoyao. And I know that's just blessing you. Speaking about coming from long distances, did anybody recognize this past week that a new star has been discovered? Anybody see that? They're not sure if it's a little planet. It's actually, our sun is 93 million miles away. That's a long way, isn't it? But this star is actually 8 billion miles away. 8 billion miles. And you know what the name of that star is called? Far Out. You can look it up. I'm not lying this. But Christmas is about Christ coming from far out to us. And without being sacrilegious, I might just say that God gave us some skin at Christmas. We talk about skin, don't we? We're worried about it getting sunburned. We try to make it up and make ourselves look a little bit better than we are. When you are actually making a deal with somebody, you want to make sure they have some what? Some skin in the game? Meaning you want to make sure they're all in, they're invested. Yet at Christmas, we see that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It was Jesus who made that star 8 billion miles away that actually came on a rescue mission to planet Earth. And so I have entitled this message, Ruminations on the Incarnation. It's not a word we use very much anymore. It's a word that actually mentions us to think about, remain, to mull over in our mind, to repeatedly and sometimes casually, sometimes intently, to chew repeatedly over an extended period of time, to engage in complementation, reflection, to ponder. And that is the word that actually is used with Mary. She pondered all of these things in her heart. The Word became flesh. I like what Eugene Peterson says in the Message. The Word became flesh and moved into our neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, a one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. All of the great creeds of the Christian faith talk about the Incarnation. The Apostles' Creed says that we believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born in the Virgin Mary. The Nicene Creed says, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds began, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance, by whom all things were made. The Athanasian Creed, it says, but the Godhead of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit is all one. The glory equal, the majesty co-eternal, neither confounding the persons nor dividing the substance. What an interesting phrase. Neither confounding the persons nor dividing the substance. And then the Chalcedon Creed, that are our Lord Jesus Christ, the same perfect Godhead, also perfect in manhood, truly God and truly man, of reasonable soul and body, consubstantial with the Father, consubstantial with us according to the manhood in all things, like unto us without sin, according to his manhood. Be acknowledged in two natures, inconfusibly, unchangeably, inadvisably, inseparably. Know the distinction of the natures, by no means taking away by the union, but rather having property of each other being preserved and concurring in one person and one substance, not parted, divided into two persons, but one and same, the Son and the only begotten, the God, the Word, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. That is the depth of early church history, of the church fathers who were trying to understand how Jesus could be both God and man. They were willing to ruminate on the Incarnation. The Word, it is the same Word in Genesis 1:3, who God said, "Let there be light." It was the Hebrews 11:3. We understand the universe was formed by God's command or God's word. Psalm 33:6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, the starry hosts, and the breath of his mouth. Listen to that, the breath of his mouth. Have you ever been out on a cold morning and breathe heavy and you see the mist? Well, that is describing the psalmist view of how the Lord Jesus Christ spoke all the stars into being. And just in case you're counting them, in our galaxy alone, there are 200 billion stars. That is 2 followed by 31 zeros. In our galaxy alone, 200 billion stars. Jesus breathed them out by his word. And just in case you want your mind to go a little bit further, we have 100 billion galaxies. The one who said far out star is the one who actually came close. It's the Word which is the creative power of the universe. It is the Word that liberated the Jews from Egypt. It's the Word that the prophets proclaimed and burned in Jeremiah's bones like a fire. He ate it like food. It's the famine that Amos predicted from the Word of God. It is that Word that Isaiah proclaimed, prepare the way of the Lord. It was the Word that would not return void or empty. It is the Word that proclaims that all flesh is like grass. It is the Word that sustains all things. It's the Word that Jesus came to fulfill. It's the Word that defeated Satan. It's the Word that is living and active. It's the Word that walked alongside people on the road to Emmaus. That is the Word that became flesh, skin. Jesus had to take on an earth suit to walk on earth. Now, you and I get pretty proud of this stuff, but it's just an earth suit. Say to somebody, it's just an earth suit. You got to make sure you have something else in that earth suit, because that earth suit is going to end. But what God gives you will never end, will never, ever be tarnished, never, ever be taken away. Now, how did that happen? Well, Luke 1:35. Mary said, "How can this be? For I'll be a virgin. I am a virgin." In the scripture, the word says, "The power of the Most High will overshadow you." Now, I don't have a medical journal on the gynecology of the Immaculate Conception. Or do I have a manual on the obstetrics of eternal deliveries? But God became flesh, God with skin, fully God, God of very God, but fully human, to fulfill the family line of David, to fulfill the promises given to Abraham. But the word says that the word, and it is logos, sarx, agenote. Doesn't that just warm your heart? Well, if you don't go to the March for Life, you're going to have to do that all day with Pastor Rick. Here's what the commentators say on that phrase, the word became flesh. This word, genome, it expresses that a person or a thing changes its property or enters into a new condition in something that was entirely different that it was not before. In this context, the flesh is the assertion that the Logos took on man's creaturely weakness of what we call is the flesh, we call skin. The commentator will go on to say, into that condition of human weakness, the Logos pitched his tent and revealed his glory, the Shekinah glory, the language that is evocative of the revelation of God's glory, of the Exodus of the Red Sea, and God's glory in Mount Sinai, and the tent of the meeting of Israel's camp. It's the glory that fell with Solomon's temple that the priests could not do their duties. It's the glory that God invaded the presence of his people. It is this Logos Christ, the fulfilling the hope of the second Exodus, who is now taking his form in a very, very small way. Philippians 2, verse 5, it says, "For he," meaning Jesus, "in being the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, being found in appearance. He humbled himself and became a man." Now, I can only imagine what that descent was like, that first step out of heaven had to be incredible. And Jesus did this out of love. Jesus did this to fulfill the justice of the Father. And I want us to think about the perspective of God coming with skin. Max Licato writes, "In that particular moment, it was like none other. For through the segment of time, a spectacular thing occurred. God became a man. While the creatures of earth walked unaware, divinity arrived. Heaven opened herself and placed her most precious one in the human womb. The omnipotent in one instant made himself breakable. He who had been spirit became pierceable. He who was larger than the universe became an embryo. And he who sustains the whole world in his hands with a word chose to be dependent upon the nourishment of a young girl. God is a fetus, holiness sleeping in a womb. The creator of life being created. And God was given eyebrows and elbows and two kidneys and a spleen. He stretched against the walls and floated against the amniotic fluids of his mother. God came near. The word became flesh." As we started our service this morning, I asked you, when you have a special guest, which door do they come in? And you all said, what? The front door. The reason why my mother didn't want them to come in the back door, and this is a true story, we vacationed in Florida 1 year, and I mentioned my mother was a wonderful cook, but not a very good housekeeper. My apologies to Sandy, I'm sorry, wasn't it? So bad that the police actually called my father in Florida, and they said our house had been broken into, and we weren't going to I think you got the punchline before I started. By the time we got back, we said we'd do a thorough inspection. We'd call the police department back. By the time we got back, we said, no, this is the way it normally looks. It's a true story. I don't make these things up. When Mariah Carey went to China, she had 8 limousines to carry her 60 pieces of personal luggage, 350 pairs of shoes. She had to get an upgrade to the Royal Hotel because 4-star was not enough. She wanted 5-star. I think when we think about the Word becoming flesh, we think about the glory of Christmas, but we forget that He came to a peasant girl, the back door to a manger, the back door of Nazareth. He lived His life on the back door of society in small villages with sick people, with beggars and lepers. And the back door, they crucified Him on the garbage dump. He came naked into the world, and He left naked. And He did it, why? To fulfill God's justice, but that you and I could be clothed with the righteousness of Christ. The Word became flesh with a very specific purpose. The Word became flesh. And yet, just like we are so used to this stuff, we forget that when Jesus tabernacled, He tented, He rented an earth suit for just a season. He took up skin for a season, for a greater reason. It's like a lion becoming a cockroach, an eagle becoming an insect, an elephant becoming an earthworm, a tiger becoming a tick, or the world's most powerful computer becoming a handheld calculator. From 50 years ago, became flesh. He who created the cosmos now has corpuscles. He who created Andromeda is now as small as an amoeba. He who made the galaxies now has sweat glands. He who created the stars now sees sin for the first time. Can you imagine being Jesus seeing sin for the first time? Can you imagine Jesus walking through a town and saying, why do they hold grudges? Can you imagine Jesus walking through the town and hearing a dirty joke about adultery? Can you imagine Jesus walking and seeing all of creation just groaning under travail? Can you imagine His humanity? He had to feel the weight of the brokenness of the fallenness to prepare Him for the cross. He had to be God to save us, but He had to be man to fulfill the law. Isaiah 45:21, it says, there is no God apart from me, a righteous God and a Savior there is none. There, God says in Isaiah 45:21, there's only one Savior. So Jesus had to be totally God. But He had to be totally man to fulfill the law. Galatians chapter 4. Verses 4 through 6. But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. And because you are sons, God sent His Spirit, the Son, into our hearts. The Spirit calls out, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has already made you an heir. So in this Christmas story, Jesus is keeping the word that that God gave to Abraham, through your seed, all nations would be blessed. And so the line of David, the kingdom that he was talking about, was a kingdom that would be established with Christ coming, and it would be a whole totally different. So let me give us 4 conclusions. And as I usually warn you, it doesn't mean it's the end. But let me give you 4 of these. Why did the Word become flesh? Why did God become skin? He became skin so that we would know that He is there. He became skin to know that He cares. He became sin to come close to us, to identify with us. He became skin to die for us because we could not save ourselves. The Greeks wondered if there was a logical postulate to hypothesize, to speculate, to figure out whether God existed. And yet, from a Christian worldview, we did not have to try to figure out. He comes personally in his flesh, and he says, I'm here. The second is, it is skin to know that he cares for us. He walks in our world. He understands us. Let me ask you a question. Does it ever bother you when somebody gives you advice and they have never been in your shoes before? Or someone says, oh, I know how you feel. And I think it's easy for us to forget. Let me just give you a couple of illustrations. Do you have any in-laws that just tell you how to raise your kids? Well, when I was a parent, I did this, right? And they just expect you to take like little capsule and just do it the same way. They don't even really listen to what you're facing with one of your children. And you feel like saying, do you even remember being a parent? Or somebody that's really wealthy, you know, well, just save up a little bit more money and you know, you can work this through. And you know, it's been so long since they had any financial need, they can't even remember what it is like to need four tires to be able to go through inspection so you can keep your job. Or how about this one? Have you ever run a small business? And somebody comes in and said, well, this is the way you should run that business. And you know darn well, all our presidential hopefuls, they were all experts in running a small business. And guess what? None of them's ever run a small business. Or how about pastoring a church? Oh, no, hold on, let me talk about that yet. How about losing weight? Losing weight. Well, just take a couple calories down and do a little bit more exercises. Work for me. And by, you know, this person's just like lean. They may have got 10 pounds. They've never known what it means to lose 50 pounds. Or pastoring a church. Well, just tell the people what they're supposed to do and they'll do it. Why y'all laughing? Have you ever walked in the shoes of somebody? And somebody really says, I've been there. I know what you feel. I know what your challenges are. He became skin. Because when he talks to us, he knows exactly of what it felt like. Or dealing with an illness. Or financial situation. Unemployment. Or how about depression? You know, I usually just go for a brisk walk or call a friend. I just get right over it. But if you've ever really struggled with depression, have you? And now you don't have to raise your... If you really struggle with depression, if you really struggled inwardly, you can't tell anybody. Sometimes you just have to go and say, Jesus, I know you feel. It was Praying Hyde of India, one of the greatest missionaries of the modern age. He said, if it were not for Jesus, I would have gone mad. The incarnation is God coming close to us. He doesn't give us advice. He enters our world. He doesn't just say, I know how you feel. He actually really does. Roland Rollheiser talks about a powerful and yet simple illustration. There's a marvelous story about a four-year-old girl who woke and frightened one night and convinced that the darkness around her, there are all kinds of spooky monsters. And alone, she ran to her parents' bedroom. Her mother calmed her down by taking her and leading her back to her own room where she turned on the light and reassured the child, you need not be afraid. You're not here alone. God is in the room with you. The child replied, I know that God is here, but I need someone in this room who has some skin. And then he says, God knows we need his skin. Not simply the knowledge that he is everywhere. People today are desperate for skin to be loved,
for someone to really listen to them, to someone to really walk with them, to someone really incarnate them. For that reason, people will pay $100 to $150 an hour for therapists just to love them, to care for them, to listen to them. Today, God still has physical skin and can be seen, touched, heard, and tasted. How? Through that, through the body of Christ. We are called in the name of Jesus to be the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Word became flesh, so it was skin to come close to us. For 33 years, He would feel everything you and I have ever felt. He felt weak, He grew weary, He was afraid of failure, He was susceptible to the wooing of woman, He got colds, burped, had body odor, His feelings got hurt, His feet got tired, and He had a headache. To think about Jesus in such a light, well, seems almost irreverent, doesn't it? It's not something we like to do. It's uncomfortable. It's much easier to keep the humanity out of the incarnation, clean the manure from around the manger, wipe the sweat out of His eyes, pretend He never snored, blew His nose, or hit His thumb with a hammer. Jesus is easier to stomach that way. There's something that about keeping Him divine that keeps Him distance, packaged, and predictable, but don't do it. For heaven's sake, don't do it. Let Him be as human as He intended to be. Let Him into the mire and the muck of your world, for only if we let Him in can He pull us out. Listen to Him. Love your neighbor was spoken to a man whose neighbors tried to kill him. The challenge to leave family for the gospel was issued by one who kissed his mother goodbye in the doorway. Pray for those who persecute you came from the lips that would soon be begging God to forgive his murderers. I am with you always are the words of a God who in one instant did the impossible to make all things possible when He died on the cross for your sin and for mine. It all happened in a moment. In one moment, an almost remarkable moment, the Word became flesh. There will be another world. There will be another instantaneous transformation. You will see God making things possible. And when Jesus wept, He left the back door open for you and I. Most important, Jesus came with skin so He could die for us. Romans 5:8, it says, "For while we were still yet what? Sinners. Christ died for the ungodly." He didn't keep us at a distance. Your sin does not scare Him. Your failure is not fatal or final. Everything that you've ever done to try to avoid God coming close, God says, "I already know. I want to walk right through the back door of your life." 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says that God made Him who knew no sin to become sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. It breaks us, doesn't it? It humbles us, doesn't it? It awakens us to the grace of God. I want to close with a story. It's a story of Pope John Paul, and I'm not subscribing to Catholic theology. It's about 25 years ago, and he visited the most despicable prison in Rome. And these were people on death row. There was not to be any furlough. They were never to be able to get out and have probation. They knew that their whole life was waiting to be executed or die in prison. The Christmas morning, the Pope served communion to all of those who are death row. And finally, one of the prisoners got up enough courage and asked one of the assistants of the Pope, "Can I ask him a question?" And the assistant said, "Sure, that's why he's here." And he said, "Why did you come? Why did you come for us? Why did you come to me? I don't deserve your being here. I am unworthy for the forgiveness of God through the work of Christ." And the Pope said, "I knew that you could not come to me. So I came to you. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Ah, Logos, Sarx, Egenote. The Word became flesh and dwelt with you in your secret closet. The Word became flesh when you wanted to run from His presence. The Word became flesh when you violated every command of the Ten Commandments. The Word became flesh when you tried to hush Him out and not let Him in the back door. God came to us at Christmas and with skin to show us that He loves us. God sent Jesus to take our place because we could never come to Him for His good pleasure, Ephesians 1:5 says, out of His good pleasure. And God chose to offer forgiveness and live with us. God came from far out to give us some skin. Let's pray. Father, I pray for holy wonder. I pray for holy imagination. I pray for the softening of the hard exterior with people around us. But most importantly, Father, when we have tried to rush you around the front door, trying to make ourselves look pretty, we have swept up the rooms we want you to come into when you say, I want to be Lord of everything. Lord of your depression and Lord of your agoraphobia and Lord of your hoarding and Lord of your closet drinking and Lord of your hidden grudges. Lord of your lack of forgiveness. Lord of your lack of passion for Jesus. Father, for those who are riding high this morning, I pray the generosity that you have given them. They are in a good spot this morning. They are feeling whole. They are joyous. They are loving. They are forgiven. They are free. Father, they're not tapped out with anything. Would you give them some fresh eyes for people around them who actually need somebody to be skin for them in their world? We pray in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.